under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We look forward to you jumping on board each and every day. And by the way, that terminology, I'm just simply saying, we look forward to you joining in, participating with your questions, answers, dialogue, and discussion about the issue today. Today we're talking about what hinders Thanksgiving. Ponder a moment. What hinders Thanksgiving? As we celebrate Thanksgiving, I think it's a pertinent question to ask. What is it that hinders Thanksgiving? Multitudes today are not really thankful. It's what is called ingratitude or lack of gratitude, not being thankful. Perhaps you've read the proclamation by Governor William Bradford for the very first Thanksgiving. It wasn't really the first, it was the third year, but it's the first year that it was proclaimed as Thanksgiving. I'm going to read this to us to start our program today. This article reads, Governor William Bradford's Thanksgiving Proclamation, Plymouth, Massachusetts, November the 29th, 1623. Insomuch as the Great Father has given this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squash, garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game, the sea with fish and clams, and insomuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilences and diseases, has granted us freedom to worship, worshiping God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now, I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather at the meeting house, that's talking about the church, on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November the 29th, the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock. Listen to ye pastor, and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. Ladies and gentlemen, Thanksgiving is a time to be thankful. We're going to talk about what the circumstances were when this was written in 1623. We're going to talk about the conditions the previous years. We're going to talk about what is outlined in the governor's proclamation for Thanksgiving. It's amazing how it aligns so perfectly with the Word of God in the Thanksgiving text throughout the Bible. By the way, the word thanks, thankfulness, and thanksgiving mentioned over 100 times. I believe it's like 119, 120 times in the Bible. I think that should tell us something about what we ought to do. Multitudes today are thanking the government for the stoppage of the shutdown, thanking the government for EBT cards, thanking the government for food, clothing, and shelter, thanking the government for free hospital care, etc., etc. Who do we thank? Who is the one that provides each and everything in our lives? I believe we need to ponder that, give fresh new analysis of whether we're really thankful or not, and who are we thankful to? Why should we be thankful? That's what we'll look at today. We'll talk about what hinders Thanksgiving. And ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. Jesus' discussion, dialogue with his disciples, made this statement: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, the Bible makes a declaratory statement about the scripture: "Thy word is truth." In Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Hang on to that word, forever. It's endless, everlasting, no ending. That is what we need to understand today. It is the truth book, the Word of God. And yet we have so many, ladies and gentlemen, that disagree with truth, that try to somehow, some way, circumvent or bifurcate truth. I go back to George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in the dystopian novel entitled 1984. It was Orwell that made this statement: "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that to be factually true even today. I'm looking at a headline that says, "Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth." The article goes in part saying this: "American institutions are suffering from a collapse in public support. Among those institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education." And ladies and gentlemen, we see where truth is so mishandled today as never before. And we're not going to get into all of the nuances of government failures, the government declensions, what's happening in the loose-lax, lost liberal wing of the government, and how that is antithetical to anything that would be called constitutional republic. We're not going to get into that in detail today. But I want us to understand that as we look at what is happening in our nation, we see the declension of truth. We see the degradation of anything that's called morals, ethics, and values. And yet multitudes today are looking at that, looking at those things that's hindering Thanksgiving. And I believe as we celebrate Thanksgiving, we need to put that aside. We need to look beyond that which I call chaos, calamity, and confusion that is so prevalent in America today. Who would have ever thought that we would have on the streets of Chicago, on the streets in New York City, on the streets in L.A. and San Francisco, on the streets in Memphis and other cities across our nation? Who would have ever dreamed that we would decline to the point in America with morals, ethics, and values, as we have seen weekend after weekend and week after week across America? And yet the Marxist media and the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats are simply refusing to recognize our Constitution and what it affords us today, simply sweeping it aside, pushing, promoting, promulgating insurrection and tyranny in our nation, coming from the left side of the aisle, if you will. I would have never dreamed that. But listen, I'm saying all of that to get to the point that even looking at these events in America, we still have so much to be thankful for. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns. The headline says, "DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth." He says, in part, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity." And ladies and gentlemen, I could attach that statement to so many things that's happening today, where we have fallen into apostasy. The church doors are closing across America. Churches are being 90% empty across America because the decline in church attendance. And as we see church attendance and the fact of what is happening in the morals, ethics, and values, we see it in total direct proportion. As the churches, as Christians, fail to assemble, fail to worship God, fail to be thankful to God, we're seeing that vacuum being filled by socialism, Marxism, communism, and the reduction of anything that would be called morals and ethics and values. I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And listen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time and the knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find it? 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is right at the intersection of I-285 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's the benchmark and identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to have you call in today. We're going to ask you to call in. What are you thankful for? How do you celebrate Thanksgiving? As we celebrate this Thanksgiving, how are you celebrating it? Do you look at it just as Turkey Day, as some have called it so long? Do you look at Thanksgiving as giving thanks to the provider of life, health, strength, provision for food, clothing, and shelter? Or do you look at Thanksgiving as simply a time off from work where you can sit back and eat some good turkey dinner, and watch football games? I don't like the football games, but many do. That's all right. But how do you celebrate Thanksgiving? What are you thankful for? And secondary to that, what hinders you from being thankful? Now, I know every one of us could come up with a list that's almost impossible to count of things that we feel that's happened in our lives this year. Perhaps the loss of a loved one. Perhaps extended serious illness in the hospital. Perhaps a declension in values in the home. Perhaps a child that's causing heartaches and heartbreak. Perhaps it's as a result of loss of a job, a loss of income, etc. Perhaps you're still fretting over the shutdown and the EBT cards being shut off. And you're still unthankful. What hinders you from being thankful even as we celebrate Thanksgiving? Ladies and gentlemen, since landing on the Mayflower at Plymouth Rock, arriving on the Mayflower, multitudes had already died because of malnutrition. Many of the pilgrims that arrived were freezing cold. Many of them were suffering from diseases as a result of the cold weather, yet were thankful to God. Now it's been 3 years since their arrival. The governor has given a proclamation basically directing that there be Thanksgiving celebrated. And what he's literally saying in his proclamation, as I read a moment ago, there's an old song that perhaps you've heard, an old song that perhaps you still sing today, an old song perhaps that you recall growing up in Vacation Bible School or Sunday School or in church services, where there's a song that said, count your many blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done. I believe at the Thanksgiving season, we need to, more than ever, before in our history of the year and what's going on, we need to say, thank you, Lord, for what you provided for me. Are you alive today? Thank you, Lord, for every heartbeat. Thank you, Lord, for every breath that I draw. Thank you for taking care of me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been 3 years now, according to the history, from the time the pilgrims arrived in 1621, they did not declare it a Thanksgiving, but they celebrated God's provision, God's protection, God's preservation for them in the new land that we now call America. Ladies and gentlemen, literally what Governor Bradford directs in the proclamation for Thanksgiving that I read to us a moment ago. He is saying, listen to this. He is saying, go to church and thank God. Listen to this part of it. He says, he mentions in this, talking about what God has provided, et cetera, et cetera. He's protected us from the ravages of the savages. He spared us from the pestilences and diseases. He's granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own hearts. The latter portion of that proclamation, he says to the pilgrims, he says, where you've landed at Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. That was a directive from Governor William Bradford, his Thanksgiving proclamation in 1623, November the 29th. He said, and I find that very fascinating. It's in the latter portion of his proclamation that I come with the very first thing in my statement in what we need to do for Thanksgiving. Go to ye church and thank God. Ladies and gentlemen, multitudes, and perhaps you're listening today and you've abandoned the church. Perhaps you're listening today and somehow, some way you've decided that I don't need God, I don't need the church. I can pull myself up my own bootstraps. I can make my own living. I can provide for my family. I don't need the crutch of Christianity or religion, as some of the Marxist communists used the term years and years ago. But ladies and gentlemen, without God, we can do nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Second thing that William Bradford, the governor, designated in his proclamation is to thank him for his provision of food. Notice what he said in that proclamation. I like this. God's given us a year of abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squash, and garden vegetables. Hey, that sounds good enough to eat. And he's made the forest to abound with game of the sea and fish and clams, insomuch that he's protected us from the ravages of the savages. So, number one, he says, go to church and thank God. Number two, he says, thank him, that is, thank God for his provision of food. Thank him, then, for his protection from the enemies. Listen, I think this is a good lineup of what we need to be thanking God for today. I believe this is a good list of things that we need to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. As we're thankful, let's thank God. Let's go to church. Let's praise him and thank him. Let the world see that we're thanking God the Father that provides for us. He says, as Bradford says, thank him for our provision. And then he says, third, thank him for the protection from the enemies. And fourth, he says, thank God for sparing us from diseases and pestilences. Now listen, we can thank God for, we can go down the same list and make the same pleas and praise and magnify the Lord and thank him for the same things in the categories that he's talking about here. He has protected us from the ravages of the savages. He spared us from the pestilences and diseases. Listen, God has spared this nation, blessed this nation, more than any other nation on the face of the globe. God has spared us this year. Listen, there's some that have had sickness, some that have had illnesses, some that have been hospitalized. I understand that. But he spared us from, as Bradford calls it, pestilences and diseases. Pestilences, by the way, incorporates all kinds of diseases. So he is giving a double thought here. Thanking, said, listen, ye pilgrims, thank God for delivering us from pestilences and diseases. Why is he saying that? Because just the previous years, couple of years, there had been major pestilences, major diseases, major malnutrition, major number died as a result of that. They've come out of that. God is blessed. And he's saying, now thank God for his blessings, his protection, his preservation for us. He says, thank him for sparing us from the diseases. And fifth, in his proclamation, He says, and to thank God for the freedom of worship. Notice what he says. He has granted us freedom to worship according to the dictates of our own conscience. William Bradford, 1623, says, ladies and gentlemen, in thanksgiving, giving thanks, we need to say thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have to worship. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize today, because of our Constitution, as a constitutional republic and a representative form of government, we have embedded in our Constitution the Bill of Rights, among other things. And the very first thing that our founding fathers placed in our founding document was the religious liberties and the freedom of speech. And that's born out of the mindset and the heartbeat of people like William Bradford that was saying the same thing but wasn't codified in a Bill of Rights. But he says to those at Plymouth Rock in 1623, William Bradford says, we need to thank God for provision. We need to thank God for his preservation. We need to thank God for his protection. We need to thank God for all that he's done for us. And ladies and gentlemen, he says, we need to thank God in Thanksgiving time for the freedom of worship. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, at this very moment around the globe, the overwhelming number of nations around the globe, the majority cannot worship freely. Right now in Nigeria, multitudes are being slaughtered by the Islamic jihadists. Multitudes are being persecuted and prosecuted around the globe. Lives being taken, churches being burned, people being beheaded, pastors and their families being destroyed, some being burned, some having their heads cut off, simply because there's no freedom of worship. And I believe in America, ladies and gentlemen, if I can be very forthright and blunt, I believe in America we have forgotten that that is a privilege, a freedom that God has given us, and most have abandoned the faith today, not realizing and recognizing that if we continue down the track that we're on today, we'll be assumed, consumed into the socialist, Marxist, communist, woke, progressive lifestyle that will say for our founding fathers that gave us these freedoms, codified, given by God, codified in the Bill of Rights and in our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution in general. Most have forgotten what we have. And I believe generations from now, lest we turn around and face God and surrender to God, I believe we'll have generations in the future, lest the rapture comes first, that we'll have generations in the future that will be looking back on history as to the freedoms, the religious liberties we had but lost because of failure to worship God and thanking Him. Ladies and gentlemen, the governor says, at church, listen to your pastor. I find that fascinating. He didn't say at church, listen to your own thoughts. He didn't say go to church and listen to some kitchen theology or some goosebump theology or cotton candy theology. He says, listen to your pastor. Listen to what the pastor says. And the idea being that the pastor is going to preach and teach the Word of God that is filled with admonition, just as in Colossians 3:15, be ye thankful. I would love to have heard that pastor on that first Thanksgiving and his message. I would love to know what was said from the pulpit by that pastor, knowing what had happened after the arrival of the Mayflower, knowing the diseases and the pestilences, knowing the death and the as a result of malnutrition and the freezing weather, knowing that and standing in the pulpit proclaiming the truth of the Word of God and directing the listeners, the participants, the worshipers, to be ye thankful for what God had done. Now, I'm sure some sat in the pews or the chairs or on the floor of the benches that day, saying, how can I be thankful? This happened to me. This took place with me. I've lost this. I've lost that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's a hindrance to gratitude. Gratitude ought to come from the heart because of what God has done for us. Not what we want and didn't get, not what we had and lost, but what God is doing in present tense for us, moment by moment, day by day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article And I'll just read portions of it for our edification. It goes back to the William Bradford. The first Thanksgiving Declaration, Governor William Bradford. And I'm looking at the article about part way down. The first formal declaration was 3 years after their arrival at Plymouth Rock, when practices and habits had begun to solidify. However, the very first Thanksgiving was in 1621, most likely in November, a year after the arrival. In that year's winter, first time being there in the winter, about half of their company perished, including their first governor, John Carver, who had died in April. And this article further says, our harvest, this is from Governor Bradford's own writings in his journal. Governor Bradford said this, our harvest being gotten in, our governor, he always referred to himself in third person, our governor sent four men on fowling that we might have a special manner rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors. In other words, he said four men he had sent out to go hunting for turkey and other fowl for them to use. That's probably where we get the thinking of thought of Thanksgiving, having a turkey dinner. That's what they celebrated and used as their food on that Thanksgiving that William Bradford wrote about in his journal. So, ladies and gentlemen, what hinders you from being thankful? That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. What are you thankful for today? What are you saying, God, thank you? Has he provided health? Sure he has. Has he provided food, clothing, and shelter? Sure he has. It may not be massive, it may not be a mega amount, but he's provided for you and for me and each of us, everyone under the sound of my voice today. It's an impossibility for any human being under the sound of my voice and beyond to say that God has not blessed me in some fashion. If you awaken this morning, that's a blessing from God. If you have health and strength, that's a blessing from God. If you have food to eat, that's a blessing from God. And we ought not to thank government, but thank God for what he's provided for us. What hinders you from being thankful? It is a mindset, ladies and gentlemen, in our society today of wanting to get, grab, and gather without recognizing the source. Perhaps you recall the biblical record in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, where 10 leprous men, and leprosy in that day was incurable. It was a death sentence. 10 leprous men dying saw Jesus coming, ran and fell down before him, and pleaded with Jesus to have mercy on them. The Lord Jesus touched them and healed all 10 of them. They all 10 got up and running, I'm sure to tell their families, I'm sure to witness to others and say, look what Jesus did for me. But one of them turned around, went back, fell on his knees before Jesus, and said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And my prayer today is that you will be as that 1/10. You will be part of the 10th, the 1 out of 10 that says, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the realization and the recognition that the thanksgiving is to Almighty God and not to a human being, not to the one that signs your paycheck, not to the company that you work for, not to the government in any fashion or any branch or any division, but to Almighty God. And the realization and the recognition that as we celebrate Thanksgiving, we're saying thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for your provision in my life. Remember, Bradford said, that make your thanksgiving to Almighty God. Listen, their gratitude, their thanksgiving was not to man, it was not to government, it was not to any other than God himself. And although they had faced what seemed to be impossible, they had faced the obstacles, the difficulties, but God had brought them through it. And they're saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park. W